designed to encourage, empower, and educate real estate professionals by sharing best practices from business leaders that are proven winners. I'm your host, Kyle Malnati, and this is Calibrate Real Estate. Broadcasting from the Mile High City, thank you for tuning in to the Calibrate Real Estate podcast. This is the podcast designed to encourage, empower, and educate you, the real estate professional. I'm your gracious host, Kyle Malnati, and we appreciate your download. If you're on iTunes, we would absolutely love a five-star review, so please make sure to do that. And the best way that this podcast grows, actually, is by sharing this content, whether you shoot a quick text message to someone or send an email with a link to a podcast that you really enjoyed. Please share this thing around. We're getting a lot of very positive feedback, organic feedback, that the podcast is really resonating with real estate professionals. Well, into our next episode, we are episode 21. My good buddies, Amanda DeVito-Parl from Colorado and Rachel Adler from Washington State, share the stage in a conversation called Mastering Mentoring. Not only are we going to talk about mastering mentoring, but also about business development. Rachel shares in this discussion that as a top producer operating a team that's growing constantly, she's gotten to a point where she's really kind of out of the one-on-one client business, and she's doing a lot more mentoring. She's doing a lot more business development, and she really has felt that that's her role. And the thing that I love about Rachel's discussion is she talks a lot about meeting people on her team where they are, helping others achieve success at the level that they're looking for. And that's really her goal as a mentor, is making sure that she can help others achieve their objectives the way that they want to win. And that's just a wonderful discussion about mentoring. Rachel was part of my class 2012, Realtor Magazine 30 Under 30. And Amanda was class of 2008 in that same Realtor Magazine 30 Under 30 issue. We are so excited to share this conversation with you. Again, thank you for tuning in, whether it's on iTunes or YouTube. Join us for this fantastic discussion about mastering mentoring with Rachel Adler and Amanda DeVito-Parl.
So Rachel is the managing broker of a team of four agents and four admin in Seattle, Washington with Windermere Real Estate. She began her career in 2002 after purchasing her first home at the age of 19. Pretty impressive. So Rachel is an active board member of Washington Realtors and founding member of her local YPN chapter. She is getting ready to film House Hunters for the second time. So I've asked her to let us know when it's going to air so we can all tune in and watch her. So please welcome Rachel and Amanda to the stage to talk about mastering mentoring.
Me again, sorry. But, I wanted to have this interesting conversation with you about mentoring. And Rachel and I are just getting to know each other a little bit better. I don't know her a long time like Kyle knows Matt Ritter, so forgive me for not being so in tune with somebody's personal life. But we've had several conversations getting to know each other a little better. We tick similarly, and I want you to share with the group a little about the team you run quick, and then I want you to tell them how you were brought up in the business and a little about yourself.
Okay, so it was mentioned in the intro. I have four agents, including myself, and then four admin, and we've doubled in size in the last 18 months because I really realized that my highest and best use at this point in my career is business development and mentoring, and it's not client service. Once I realized that, and I'm about 6 months away probably from completely stepping out of the client service at this point, my life is a whole lot less stressful when I'm not taking on strangers' stress. We have a buyer's agent who writes contracts and a showing assistant who shows property and a listing person that I partner with right now. And then our admins are all part-time. So we have a graphic designer and marketing person who is mom. She's there 30 hours a month. We have somebody who's just finishing up her college career She's 20 hours a week, somebody who's actually on maternity leave right now and wants to be mom first and work second. She's gonna be 25 to 30 hours a week when she comes back from leave. But really, and then a transaction coordinator that's off-site. So for me, it was more, we've heard people say, like, finding the right person for the job and then building the job around them, which is why I've got four part-time people, because it's really, for me, about surrounding myself with good energy and people who love what they're doing, and if they don't want full-time, then I'll hire somebody else to pick up the other hours.
So on the conversation of mentoring, you shared with me a story about your first mentor, and mentors are a vital part, especially when you're young and you're learning the business and you're trying to understand what you're supposed to be doing, and somebody just to guide you and to help you learn. Mm-hmm. And you tell me, for most of us, it takes someone in believing in you and giving you a shot. And you had a person that did that for you. This conversation also shifted to sort of the school of hard knocks for you. You were very young when you moved out of your family home, and you got into real estate at 19. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little about those hard knocks and that first influence in your life.
Yeah, so my very first mentor was actually an agent who hired me as her assistant when I was 19, right after I bought my first house. And she was incredible. Like, I just was so set up for success because she was systems oriented, and I didn't know that there was any other way to sell real estate than to make $500,000 a year doing it. And so when I left her, I was like, okay, how am I going to do this for myself now? Right?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, and what's interesting about that relationship that you and I talked about was that, you know, there was an expectation that she was going to retire, that she was going to give you the business, and that, you know.
So that was a different mentor, actually.
Okay,
yeah,
this was somebody
second
different.
Mentor.
Okay.
So I had started my career, and about 2008, things started to slow down a little bit, and I went to my office manager and said, like, I'm struggling, I don't know what to do, and he suggested that I go work under another agent as a buyer's agent, and she was a top producer, traveled in top 1% in the country, traveled with Mike Ferry, Tom Ferry's dad, nationally speaking, and she was fantastic, but she told me part of why I started working with her was because she was going to retire in 2 years, and after a year it was, I'm going to retire in 2 years, and after 2 years it was, I'm going to retire in 2 years. So that relationship didn't end up going forward. I ended up leaving.
Right.
But the things that I learned while she was mentoring me, I learned how to prospect, which wasn't a thing in my career. Just
right.
I didn't need it up till that point. I also learned some things that I didn't want to do. So I had a book of business. I had had some success prior to partnering with her, and she wouldn't let me. We could only market her group that was her name to my people, and my people don't know her. Like, so I stopped marketing to a couple hundred people that I had sold homes to over the past 5 or 6 years. That I never actually got back in touch with those people. So I knew when I went to build my own team that it needs to be an umbrella where my ego's not in it, and I need to help other people achieve their own success within my umbrella rather than it just being all about me.
Right, it was that too ego-driven for
her. Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And she had a big name, so it made sense, but.
Well, and it's so interesting when you encounter people like that too, because you want credit for the work we want credit for the work we're doing.
Totally.
And it doesn't ever feel good to sort of be under somebody.
Yeah.
And so you've built a team where people are really, you have a great culture fit. People really look up to you. I think so too. And there's not this ego in your business, and it has made you just roaringly successful. And I'll tell you, I think you underscore yourself a little bit on this, but you have accomplished a lot in your young years in this business, and I think you've got to give yourself more attaboys for that. You are a dynamic person, but she's very humble. I've tried to bring it out of her. I've tried to get it out of her, and she's just insanely humble and insanely successful. So we talked about We talked about hiring a little bit, and I want you to share a little about how you choose these people in the culture fit and why that's important for you as in a leadership role in your organization.
Yeah, so we shifted over this last 18 months and stopped hiring out of need, but hiring when we found the right human. This most recent, and I wouldn't even call it a hire, like we merged.
I was going to go to like the Snow White philosophy of your business.
So we come together out of want. Like I wake up in the morning looking forward to going into work.
Yep.
And we spend the first 10 minutes of our day like just chatting about stuff.
Yeah, because women, we got to get that out. You got to get that out early in the morning, I've learned. You know, when the mm-hmm. ladies come into the office, they got to get it out of their system a little bit. You got to talk about the day yesterday. My staff does this too, right? I'm like thinking to myself, were they here to work or chat? Like, what are you out there doing, you know? And then once it's out of their system, they can get to work. And,
yeah, absolutely.
But if they like each other, that's so much better than not, right?
Yeah, my boyfriend is in corporate America, and he is like, wait, why do you know
that.
All of these details about your people, like what's going on. But like I know who's got a boyfriend and who's going on their first date and like all of that. That's,
well, and that happens in our micro environments, right?
Yeah.
We're working in these little tiny teams with these other humans who have emotions and feelings and things. And it's a dynamic culture.
Mm-hmm.
And it is hard to work. Like Matt was saying, I like a business like about 60 or 80 people. And I'm thinking, no kidding. Nobody has to talk to each other, you know? But if you're working in an environment that's really small, it can be dramatic, right? Like that's just something. So,
well, and we are office space. There's 7 of us there on a daily basis in some capacity or another, and we're in like 300 square feet. Like we just all fire off.
Does anybody shush each other or click anything at each other when they're on the phone? No shushing.
No, I mean, we generally leave and go into conference room to make phone calls because that gets a little tough. Except for me, I sit on speakerphone because I want everybody to hear how I'm interacting with people.
Isn't that collaboration that, what's the word I'm thinking of when like people can hear what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like your assistant can hear that call like, yeah, it's no problem. I'll get the sign ordered up on Thursday and we'll have the lockbox out there. And all of a sudden she's doing the work because
she's
hearing you.
Yep.
So that that really small collaborative work environment is super beneficial to the workplace, don't you think?
Absolutely. And our team is built around ownership of your own whatever it is, right? So like I don't come in and task my assistant with 15 things in the morning. Like she has her 15 things, and then when she's done with that, she asks me if I need something else or the buyers. Like it just runs because I don't micromanage. Everybody knows what they're doing. Everybody knows and takes ownership and pride in the work that they produce.
When did you start seeing yourself as a mentor? When do you feel like you left that shift? She doesn't. No, but I mean, I think that you, in some ways, you're silently guiding, right? And it comes natural and inherently for you.
I think so. I don't know. I don't see myself as a mentor, though. Like, maybe I should.
You should.
Okay.
I think mentoring's an interesting thing. It's, I'll share a little about my upbringing in the business. I'm a second generation realtor, and my dad was in the business, has been in the business for 35 years. And the struggles we went through were a little painful in the beginning because when I started with him, you know, we would do what we called car time. And we would get in the car together and I'd go on an appointment with him. But I can remember sobbing in the car with him. He's like, you know what you need to be doing? And you ought to pick up the phone and do this. And are you going to send that letter? And are you going to get your business? And how many calls are you making a day? Or whatever was going on for us. And it was like, I just do the best I can. And so I remember in the beginning of that relationship being kind of somewhat intimidated, I guess you could say, those early years of mentorship can be intimidating. And I know we've all experienced that because we've all stood on somebody else's shoulders in our lives. But then there's a tipping point where all of a sudden, you know, you become the mentor. And it doesn't happen naturally. It doesn't happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden you're there.
Yeah.
And you're in a leadership role, and it's a really cool place to be. And I think there is a tipping point that happens, and I think that they're really those relationships along the way, they shape and mold us in a way that you can't.
Well, and for the first 10 years of my career, I was the youngest person in the office because I started when I was 19, right? So now I'm kind of in that, I'm in the younger tier, but I'm still mid-range, and I've got 2 people on my team that are 22. And
no wonder they're talking about their boyfriends and girlfriends.
They're so crazy.
They're like hot dates and stuff.
But It's fun to, I know that I'm guiding them and shaping them in the same way that I was guided and shaped and given a shot when it was my turn.
Yeah. So. You know, I've heard Kyle talk about this this process of working on what he calls the AAR, and it's a military procedure. It's called the After Action Review.
Yeah.
This is something you like to speak to your team about.
Yeah.
And I want you to help us understand what that looks like in your business when you do this After Action Review. The After Action Review is an autopsy that's done in the military setting. Anybody who has a military background may know what this is. I don't, unfortunately, but it's interesting and it's something you like. Do you have a sort of a military background?
No, this actually came from someone that I worked with a few years ago, and like we worked on a new construction site, and at the end of the site we did kind of this dissection of
what happened
and
yep, and I have it here. It says so it's an autopsy of each mission. What was the plan? What actually happened? What went wrong? What went well? And then what can we do better next time to improve? And so when you're working through your business, you use this to dissect even the little things,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and we are implementing doing it once a week. Like, how did this week go? And having everyone on the team speak about both, like, how am I feeling about this week? And, like, specifically task-wise, what was I supposed to get done?
Mm-hmm.
What didn't happen? Like, what actually happened? And do that whole thing. So it's a... it also works really well with, again, with some of our newbie people on the team when we have behavior issues we need to correct. So it's not just like, oh my God, you did this. It's like, okay, we're going to after action review about this. Like, what was supposed to happen?
Yeah.
And it helps them be involved and them identify, like, it's not me telling them they did something wrong.
Right.
It's them coming to the table and figuring out how they can do better next time.
Right, and not being critical of somebody or causing conflict, but it's a way just to sort of work through the business piece of it.
Nobody's perfect.
No.
We all, yeah, no.
I feel like you and I had talked a little bit about the difference between mentoring and training. So, you know, how do you get people, what's the difference for you?
Yeah.
And
I learned that I'm a really, like, I'm good at 10,000 feet, but like, I'm a terrible trainer. I am like the least patient person on the planet. And I was burning through assistants because I was the one training them and they hated me because I did, like, they just did.
Yeah, because you were just like, aren't you going to do that?
Like, what? Why didn't it get done 5 minutes ago? And like all of these things. So I have like a lead trainer. She trains all the new people. And then I just get to come in at the end of the day and go, high five, you're doing a great job.
Right, because that feels better for you,
yeah.
Right? To have somebody else do the daily grind, those training
things.
And that's a growth spot in your business too, where like all of a sudden you recognize that was just something you were lousy at or was not your strong suit.
Well,
delegate.
And I didn't know. I mean, I knew it didn't feel good. I didn't know I was lousy at it until I stopped doing it, and I went like, okay, I've gone through how many assistants? Like, I'm still here. What's the common denominator? Like, and now we have some continuity within our team because I don't do that anymore.
Regarding sort of the art of mentoring or mastering mentoring, you know, is there anything in the room that feels like it's plaguing you guys? Anything that you want to ask or ask of Rachel regarding mentorship? Or is there anything that you feel like is missing in your business that you could use some help on? I thought I'd just throw it down to the room. Yeah, go ahead.
In terms of mentoring or connecting with folks that the skill set of something's not there. Like, I've got a really ambitious, hungry young buyer agent on my team.
Yes.
But it's just, he'll do what I say, but then getting it to connect with someone who's different from me.
I approach
training folks that are mentoring that are different from me.
Yeah, it's really tough. Like, you've got to meet people exactly where they're at, right? And I try to go through a more of a question-based system. And asking them where their pain points are, where, like, again, the after action review, like, what's not working, what is working, what do they like to do, and then kind of building it around them. So in my career in 2009, I set off on my own, left my mentor, and had to go prospect. So I picked you know, there's 100 different ways to prospect. I picked five. I focused on those five for a year and then went, like, what do I hate doing? What am I not, like, cold calling expired? Like, that didn't work for me, right? So, and then kind of did a review of it and said what's working, what's not working, and maybe helping that, asking that person, like, what do, I'm assuming it's in a prospecting thing, maybe it's not, but yeah. So like trying to dive deeper into what they like to do and then moving them forward through that, because round peg, square hole, like if you don't want to do it, you're not going to do it.
Yeah.
If somebody else tells you to do it, you don't want to do it. It's got to come from them.
Well, I recently dialed into a podcast about culture fit and having the right people in the right seats on the bus. That's the book Good to Great. And so some of this is, you know, if you've got a hungry young person who wants to do a lot but they're not smart, then you've got a decision to make about whether you just take that hunger and you give to them to try and get them knowledged up so that they can be more beneficial to your group. And there may be an opportunity to give somebody wings and let them fly, and maybe they're not a fit for your team. But I think you're right. I think unless you've got somebody who's hungry and humble and smart to come in and work in your business and grind, I don't know. And the other thing I want to say about the really young assistants is that a lot of times they're really eager, but they don't have the knowledge. Or you can bring somebody in who's super knowledgeable, and a lot of times they've lost the hunger. And so it is a really difficult fit to find a fit in your organization who does that or who fits that bill. You know, we were talking about mentoring. You and I have a mutual friend. His name is Larry Kendall. Mm-hmm. Many of you may know Larry Kendall. He runs a brokerage here in Colorado in Fort Collins called The Group Inc. And he has a book that he wrote called Ninja Selling. And if you take one book home to read from today, I would highly recommend you take home the book Ninja Selling by Larry Kendall. Larry Kendall is a repeat and referral-based business leader. He has a philosophy of, you know, just staying in touch with people. It's a very simply rooted business. But Larry Kendall is somebody that you look up to greatly.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're coming back in July to meet with Larry.
To do another ninja installation, I think is what they call it.
They call it.
Yeah.
And so what are some of those things you've implemented in your business from a high level, from that 10,000 feet, that you just weren't doing? You know,
I need a refresher, which is why I'm coming back.
Yeah.
But the his buyer and seller consultations and like really diving in deep on, you know, when I was first in business, I would meet a buyer at an open house and we'd talk about their criteria and I'd just start sending them listings, and in my mind they're my client. Like, we're just gonna go
find a house.
Together.
Yeah.
You sit down, you have a consultation. So some of those things that we've implemented have just changed my life dramatically.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a big consultation guy.
Yeah.
He's big with the repeat and the referral, the follow-up, all that stuff, the high-touch part
of
the business.
And then also, like, in running the team and mentoring in that way, like the daily activities and being really structured and working on your business in the morning and in your business in the afternoon.
Sure.
And all of that. And my business is... it's not client-based anymore. It's solving issues that come up in the office.
Yeah. Well, thanks for your time today, Rachel.
Of course. Thank you.
It's good talking to you.
Yeah, thanks.